Amen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And our teenagers went to a youth rally yesterday. And thankful for all the youth rallies they're able to go to and the opportunities they have. This evening, I pray that you'll be back the next two Sunday evenings. We're going to be taking a break from our time that we're looking at the Word of God and seeing what it says about the local church. And these next two Sunday evenings, we're going to be spending our time in 1 Samuel. On Wednesdays, we've been preaching through 1 Samuel and allowing the Lord to use that portion of Scripture to help us understand what the Word of God says concerning David's life and the many examples and the many illustrations and things that we can apply to our lives from the book of 1 Samuel. We started in chapter 16, and we've just gotten to chapter 23. And so these next two Sunday evenings, I'm going to be preaching from 1 Samuel and kind of giving you a little brief introduction from chapter 16 all the way to chapter 23. The reason being is because I want you to join us on Wednesday evenings. It's a precious time. It's a wonderful time to come and be with us, and I pray that you can do that. So these next two Sunday evenings, we're going to be in 1 Samuel, kind of giving you a little bit, catching you up in case you're able to come on Wednesdays as we continue our time in 1 Samuel, okay? But this morning, if you will, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And you know a familiar verse. We're going to let the Word of God speak to us this morning. We're going to be turning to the book of Psalm. We're going to be turning to Jeremiah, Habakkuk, and James. And we're just going to let the Word of God speak this morning concerning this time that we're going through, concerning revival that we've been praying for. We have a revival meeting that is scheduled, but a revival meeting means nothing if the Lord truly isn't in it. And I pray that He would be in it. I pray that He would get a hold of our hearts and use this meeting together as we seek Him and seek His face, okay? The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 15, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Turn with me to the book of Psalm, Psalm 85, if you will, real quick. We'll turn to quite a few here for just a minute, and then we'll settle in the book of Habakkuk. Psalm 85, verse 6. Psalm 85, verse 6, the Bible says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Psalm 85, verse 6, one more time, the Bible says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Turn with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. We're thinking about revival. We're thinking about this, subject concerning revival, what the Word of God says about all this. Look with me in Psalm 51, verse 10. If you don't have a Bible, you can look up here in our revival banner here. The Bible says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." One more time, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God this morning? The book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, the Bible says this. In verse 1, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name." Verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." We spent much time in this portion of Scripture, probably 3 months ago, looking at Jeremiah chapter 33. In this portion of Scripture, this verse specifically, verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I love this portion of Scripture because one thing that's clear is that the Lord wants us to call unto Him. We're living in a day and age where Christians are walking through and going through the motions, and you find yourself expecting God to do something but never once asking Him to do it. It's as though you face a hard time, you're going through a tough time, and you say, "God, why aren't you doing this?" Well, one time have you ever called on Him and said, "Lord, I need you right now." In verse 3 of chapter 33 of Jeremiah, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." As you find yourself one more time back in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, I'm going to read this verse one more time before we enter into the book of Habakkuk. But the Bible says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." In this portion of Scripture, in verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 7, you see a challenge. Now you see people that are called out. It says, if my people were called out here, which are called by my name, the conditions are about to be given, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. How many of us could look at this verse here and read this verse and understand that we all need to humble ourselves? It's not just certain people, but every single one of us need to humble ourselves. Every single one of us need to pray. Every single one of us need to seek the face of God and turn from our wicked ways. Now, I've shared this before, but it's also oftentimes a little bit easier to humble yourself when you think about the Lord and you find yourself reading. It's a little bit easier to humble yourself. You continue reading and you say, yes, I can pray, and we might be able to all, single one of us, say that we've been praying. But you go a little bit further and it says, seek my face. How many of us have been seeking the face of God this morning? And then you get to this point right here. It says, and turn from their wicked ways. We could all agree this morning that when we find ourselves in the Word of God, that when the Word of God starts to reveal some things in our lives, that we realize that we're all wicked. Every single one of us. The person who is the most righteous in this auditorium this morning is still wicked. When we look at the Word of God and we see what the Word of God is talking about and we see the conditions that are given out here and the people that are called out, but you go a little bit further at the end of this verse of 14, it says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's a conclusion here that is carried out even further. It says, then will I hear from heaven. And that word and there tells me it gets better. Aren't you thankful for these portions of Scripture when it says and sometimes? It says, then will I hear from heaven, but that's not all. And will forgive their sin, but hey, that's not all either. And will heal their land. We're living in a day and age when we as a people, we expect those flyers to reach people. We expect those handouts to reach people. We expect those little doorknobs to reach people. But you know what reaches people? The Word of God reaches people. People reach people and share the Word of God. And that's what we need to be doing. But we need to find ourselves in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Every single one of us need to humble ourselves. Every single one of us need to be praying. Every single one of us need to be seeking the face of God. And every single one of us need to be turning from our wicked ways. What is that one thing that's hindering you from being all in all for God? What is that one thing in your life that is hindering you from being sold out to God this morning? What is that one thing for you that is hindering you and hindering the Lord from using you like He would like to? If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and it gets better. And will forgive their sins. And oh, it gets better again. And will heal their land. This morning, turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. As we read these verses and we read what's taking place in the Word of God, in the book of Habakkuk, we're going to enter into a book and we're going to see a man with a burden. I love the book of Habakkuk. I love the burden that he has. And we think about the burden that's taking place. We think about this portion of Scripture and what the Lord's wanting to speak to us about. Here in just a minute, we're going to read this book here in Habakkuk. And I pray it'll be an encouragement, yet a challenge to us. As we think about revival, we think about what the Lord wants to do, every single one of us. We've taken this theme for our revival, revived by His Word. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This morning, I pray that you specifically will be praying that the Lord would speak to you, that the Lord would deal with you, that the Lord would get a hold of your heart. We spent some time in the book of Joshua this morning, and I was encouraged. I pray that you all were. When we were in our Sunday school class, and as I was reading at the end of verse 15, it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was a commitment that was made. Joshua said, we're going to do this. He was worried about his family. He was worried, and he was saying that. This morning, I pray, we'll pray this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Here in a couple of weeks, we're going to have our revival meeting, and while it's a revival meeting, we don't have to wait on a revival meeting to experience God truly working in our lives. You could leave this auditorium, this church service this morning, and you could understand that you would be revived by His Word if you find yourself doing some things like the Word of God says. 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I'm going to pray. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. This morning, as you read that verse and you look at that verse, are you willing to prepare your heart, your life, to see God move? You see, it's easy to say we want God to send revival. It's easy to say we want God to save souls. It's easy to say we want God to create in me a clean heart. But what are you doing about it? What am I doing? You see, there's got to be some action that is taken. We can't expect the Lord to do something that we have no desire for Him to truly do. There's got to be some action that's put forth. And so we're going to find ourselves in the book of Habakkuk. You're going to see a man with a burden. And I pray that you'll be encouraged this morning, but challenged at the same time concerning revival and what the Lord wants to do. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you've done already this morning. Lord, we thank you for our church. We thank you for our visitors. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to find ourselves in the Word of God this morning. Lord, as we think about the many churches that are having to close this morning due to the hurricanes that have taken place, Lord, I pray that you would help them and encourage them through your Word. Lord, as we think about the families that were affected on September 11th, Lord, I pray that you would be with them as well. Lord, I pray that you would be with this service. Lord, be with those who are in the back. Lord, be with our nursery. Lord, be with everything that takes place concerning the singing, the preaching, and the fellowship. Lord, I pray that you be honored and glorified and pleased with it all. Lord, once again, as we enter into the book of Habakkuk, I pray that you would help us and guide us, direct us, and use us. Lord, I pray that you would be with myself as I preach. Empty me of self, empty me of sin. Lord, and fill me with the Spirit. Lord, and we'll thank you for that. Lord, once again, bless in all things, and we'll rejoice. And thank you for it in the Lord's name. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, and very simply, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee, out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore the wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land, to progress the dwelling places that are not, to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful, their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for the violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. Look down with me a little bit more. The Bible says in verse 17, shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? And that's where he ends up in chapter 1. But I want you to notice something with me. In the beginning of chapter 1, it says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And in verse 2, he says these words, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee of violence, it will not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. The beginning of the book of Habakkuk, it sets the tone for what's taking place. It's very clear, it's very simple. It says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. As I read this portion of Scripture, and we've spent some time in the book of Habakkuk on a Sunday evening for a little while, and I was encouraged yet challenged at the same time, as I read this portion of Scripture and we see the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, and O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out to thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? 2 Chronicles 7:14 comes to my mind because when we read this portion of Scripture, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I was interested and curious as far as how many revival meetings actually take place in this the United States and all those things, and I wasn't able to find a specific number of revival meetings that take place. But something that I did find interesting as I was reading and researching this is that out of all the revival meetings that are taking place in the United States, you'd be amazed at how many of them spend some time in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. And we read this verse and we see that it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We understand at the end of this verse that there is a conclusion that's carried out, such as, then will I hear from heaven. And we hear these things and we say, oh, that would be wonderful. And it gets better. And he says, and will forgive their sin. Oh, Lord, that would be wonderful. And we go a little further and it says, and will heal their land. Oh, Lord, that would be wonderful. And we say things and we make comments like, that would be wonderful to see God do something like that. Yet the beginning and the middle of this verse does nothing to us. Where the Bible says, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, it's as though we hear these things and it goes in one ear and out the other. It's as though we're sitting in and we're listening to the Word of God preached and we say, all of those results that need to be done and all those results that take place for people doing those things, that's all wonderful. But we won't do any of these things right here. We won't humble ourselves. We won't pray like we need to. We won't seek the face of God like we need to. And we won't turn from our wicked ways because we're too prideful and stubborn to do it. Yet at the end of the day, we say, oh, it would be wonderful to see revival in this nation. I'm curious this morning, do we understand and really understand what's taking place in this nation? I was encouraged yesterday as we were out knocking on doors and handing out information for our revival. Every once in a while, you'll go out and you'll experience a day like this. But oftentimes, when you're out knocking on doors and trying to share the gospel, many times people turn you away. People say, I don't want to hear it. Yesterday, we were out and we were talking and knocking and handing out information. And there was one door that we were about to get out up to. The lady was outside. She was smoking a cigarette and her dog was running around. And I saw the dog. If you know me, you know I love dogs. So as soon as I see dogs, that's a conversation for me to start up right there. Well, as I was entering and we were walking and Jackson is just sitting there like this. He's bored. He doesn't know what's going on. He's sweating. He's just sitting there. I got a cute little kid with me. I'm thinking, oh, we've got a lot going for us today. I mean, a dog right there. My son loves dogs. I love dogs. We got a good day. But as I'm entering the lady's front area, she says, I'm not interested. I said, oh, I want you to be. In my mind, I'm thinking, listen, you've got to be interested in this. I want you to. I said, listen, I don't want to take much of your time. Can I just leave some information with you? She said, that's fine. So I walked up. Me and my wife and Jackson walk up to her, and we started some conversation with her. I was able just to talk to her. Just to have some conversation. I said, what kind of dog is this? She shared that with me. I said, my son loves dogs. I love dogs. We have two dogs. She said, you know, he loves jumping. He'll lick on them. I said, that's fine. We were able to talk and invite her to church and talk to her a little bit. As I continued going, there was a couple other instances like that. A man was loading his vehicle with some fishing poles. And I just said, listen, I don't want to take much of your time. Shared some information with him. Very nice, kind. And it was one of those days where you're out knocking on doors and sharing information and you're doing all this and asking the Lord to bless. And it's one of those days where the community, every single person that you talk to is responsible. And you leave and you're saying, did that really just happen? Because you're so used to doors being slammed on you and people saying, I'm not interested. But I left that place yesterday and we came to the church and was working and I left the church and I was walking through and so thankful for all the Lord's done. But as I left and I knew I was preaching this morning, my mind and my heart ached because I myself read this verse. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I myself find myself saying, oh, that would be wonderful. Lord, it would be wonderful if you would hear from heaven and will forgive our sin and will heal our land. But I myself find myself doing the exact same thing that I truly believe many Christians do. And that is, we read this portion of Scripture and we say, I can humble myself, I can pray, I can seek the Lord, I can ask Him to bless. But we struggle at turning from our wicked ways. Or maybe we're saying, you know what, I can do all that, but we don't pray. You know what, I just don't know that I can humble myself. And we're so excited for the results, and we're asking the Lord to send results, but we're doing nothing to allow Him to send the results. You see, we expect them to hear from heaven and forgive our sin and heal our land, but we won't humble ourselves or pray or seek His face or turn from our wicked ways. I left that place and I left the church last night with a burden, a heavier burden, asking the Lord, Lord, let it start in me. Lord, get a hold of my heart. Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And we have this right here, and it says, revived by His Word. But truly, how do we want to be? Do we truly want to be revived by His Word? Are we okay with how things are going? Are we okay with just going through the motions and seeing God do a little bit here and a little bit there, but we don't want to see those great and mighty things, which I know is not? We're okay with seeing God bless our home as far as our finances go. We're okay with seeing visitors enter the doors of Gateway Baptist Church every once in a while. We're okay with seeing a soul saved here, but we don't want to commit to doing everything more and more. We don't want to go a step further. I look at this book right here in Habakkuk. Look at how it starts out. It says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Come look with me a little bit further down. The Bible says this in verse 5. Behold ye among the heathen, in regard, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. If you've been here on a Sunday evening a couple months back, you know we spent a little bit of time back here. Turn with me to chapter 3 of the book of Habakkuk. The beginning of chapter 1, you see the burden. You see so much emotion. You see him asking and crying out to God. You see him understanding that, listen, God, you've got to move. You've got to do something. But you understand in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. And you understand and you're reading and you're seeing the prayer, the burden that he had and the prayers that he continues to pray all throughout this book. Listen, this morning we need to get a burden for revival. Every single one of us. And stop thinking and stop asking the Lord to send a revival in this great nation. Say, Lord, send a revival and revive me. Lord, get a hold of my heart so I can help you and God allow you to use me. Lord, get a hold of my heart first. We see a revival that needs to be take place. Some things that are encouraging about revival. When you get a burden for revival, listen, understand, number one, that God desires to work. He doesn't put these verses here, and He doesn't put the Word of God in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He doesn't put this verse right here. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. He doesn't put this so you can get a burden to see God work so that when you start doing some of these things, He can say, I'm not feeling like it. Probably not going to do it. He doesn't put verses like, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, so that we can desire for God to renew a right spirit within us and clean our heart and get a hold of our hearts so that He can say, fooled you. It's not what He does. He truly wants us to get a burden for these things and get a burden for Him to use us and to get a hold of our lives and to revive us as a people. He truly desires these things. God desires to work in us. But in our personal lives, when you find yourself with a greater burden, you'll find yourself understanding that revival means a greater devotion to Christ. How much time have you been devoting to Christ? How much of your life does Christ really have? It's easy to talk to someone who's lost and you start to feel good about yourself because you say you go to church and you do things like, you know, you go out on activities with your church and you go door knocking and, you know, you attend church, you know, a couple times a month or a couple times a week or however, and it starts to help you feel better. You know, you say, well, you know what, I actually am a pretty good person. I mean, when I really think about it. You know what will help you realize what truly person you are is find yourself in this book right here. Find yourself understanding that though you may go to church three times a week, you need to read more. Though you go to church three times a week and go out soul winning and you're a part of all these groups and you're maybe a blessing to this person and a blessing to this person, that you can do more. Because in this book right here, you'll understand that you need to go a step further. You'll understand that you need to humble yourself more. You'll understand that you need to seek His face more. You'll understand that you need to turn from more wickedness every single day. You'll understand that self gets in the way oftentimes. and a greater devotion to Christ will arise. You'll understand also that when revival and the burden that takes place, that more people will want to get involved because of your passion for the Lord. You'll make such a difference in people's lives because they'll see a burden in your life. They'll see a zeal in your life to do more. They'll see a desire to serve God, and they'll say, that person's got something that I ain't got, but I want it. But then we go back to the 2 Chronicles 7:14, and we understand that though we want all those results, are we willing to do anything for them? I always can relate to sports and relate to basketball and relate to some of these things. And when I think about wanting the results, but what am I going to do to get those results? And understand that the process has to take place. I think about sports, and I think about the conditioning that some of these athletes do, and they're training in the off season, they're training throughout the season. I'm going to share something with y'all. I don't like this person. I don't agree with this person at all. But for illustration purpose, I'm going to share this. How many of you might know who Kobe Bryant is? I think he averaged 13 points a game throughout his career or something. No, he's like 20-something points a game. He's a high athlete, famous. I heard a story about him one time. A man by the name of Jay Williams was coming into the NBA. I was just watching this a couple weeks back, and I remember watching Jay Williams. He was great at Duke University. He was a point guard, and he was one of the top picks in the draft. I think he was number 2 in the NBA draft. And Jay Williams was sharing a story one time. They were about to go play the Lakers, and Kobe Bryant was on that team. And Kobe Bryant was the star on that team at the time, and Jay Williams was this up-and-coming rookie or a couple years in the league, and he was wanting to be one of those people that people just looked at and said, that basketball player's got it. So Jay Williams decided a couple hours before the game he was going to go and get some work in. So they arrived in Los Angeles, and they went in, and Jay Williams said, I'm going to go shoot around. Jay Williams was only in there for a minute or so, and then all of a sudden, Kobe Bryant comes in. Kobe Bryant's on the opposite end. Jay Williams is on this end. He said that he worked out, and he shot for what seemed like an hour and a half. He was in there a couple minutes before Kobe Bryant. He got done, and he said, okay, I think that's enough work. I think I'm good for the day. He said he sat down and just watched, and Kobe Bryant was over on the other end still, just shooting. He said he stayed for about 45 more minutes, was shooting. He said he was going 100%, doing game time and game-like drills and game-like shooting and all those things. He said sweat was pouring off. He said that night he went out, and Kobe Bryant dropped 61 points on him. When I say dropped, I mean scored, for those of you who don't like basketball or don't pay attention. That means he scored 61 points. So Jay Williams is, after the game, he says, I have to figure out what it is about this guy. So he went and asked him, he said, listen, when I went into the gym, he said, we were shooting, I was in there a couple minutes before you, why'd you stay so much longer? He said, because I wanted you to realize that the harder you work, I'm always going to work harder. He said, the harder you work, I'm always going to get work hard. And they went on and was talking about the results that obviously Kobe Bryant, this man who was filled with, you know, dreams of being the greatest basketball player, wanted, and the results. And let me just say that the Lord and Savior that we serve is far greater than any athlete you'll ever meet. Okay? So don't mistake the fact that I'm using this illustration. Listen, I serve a God that's greater than any Kobe Bryant or LeBron James or, you know, any athlete in this world. But for illustration's sake, Kobe Bryant had a mindset that, listen, these are the results that I want, and this is what I'm going to do to get those results. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the results are very clear. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And the process that has to be taken is right in front of us. You see, some of the times in our lives we want results to take place, but we're walking through and just trusting the Lord by faith and saying, listen, I'm going to continue to do this, and Lord, I don't know how it's going to turn out. But in a situation in 2 Chronicles 7:14, when you're reading this verse and you see that the results are, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land, He doesn't leave you hanging. It's not as though He says, this is what can happen, and you're saying, well, Lord, what do I have to do? He's very clear about what has to be done. He says it right here. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. But how many of us are willing to do this? How many of us are willing to beg and plead with God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me? Look with me in Habakkuk. Look at his passion here. Look at the burden that he has. It says in chapter 1, verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Look and think about this emotion here. That as he's got this burden that's so heavy on his heart and his life. And I want to ask this morning, how many of us truly want to see God send revival? How many of us truly want to see God get a hold of Gateway Baptist Church and the people of Gateway Baptist Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, and really see people saved and lives changed? How many of us truly have a burden that is so heavy that we find ourselves on our knees pleading and begging God to get a hold of us first? He says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. I imagine it'd be as though Jackson is a little bit older and we're going through life and Jackson says, Dad, why aren't you doing anything? Dad, help me. I'm in a pit. If he's in a pit, he says, Dad, help me. I can't get out. And he's pleading and he's begging. He says, Dad, I just need you. And you read the Word of God and you see the burden that he has. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Lord, hear me. Why aren't you hearing me? Lord, get a hold of us. Lord, realize that we need revival. Lord, realize I need you. And we read 2 Chronicles 7:14 and it phases us not one bit. We've taken the theme, revived by His Word, and many people may have walked through and we say, oh, those are pretty. Oh, that's a nice verse. But do you want to create a clean heart? Do you want a clean heart? Do you want God to get a hold of your life? Do you want God to get a hold of Gateway Baptist Church? Do you want God to get a hold of Clarksville, Tennessee? Do you truly want to see revival? Is the burden so strong in your life that you're willing to do anything and wanting God to do everything in your life so that you can see Him working in your life? You see, we walk through the doors and we hear messages preached and we hear things that are taking place and we say, that person needs it. No, listen, I need it. Listen, you need it. You need God to get a hold of your life. I need God to get a hold of our life. Every single one of us needs God to create a clean heart in our lives. We need a renewed spirit within us. But we're not going to do anything about it. We hear messages preached and a burden that Habakkuk has here. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save? Look with me in verse 5, bro. He says, behold, ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. Shared this on Wednesday. I may have shared it during this message. Maybe you found yourself praying. Maybe you found yourself pleading with God and saying, Lord, get a hold of my heart. Get a hold of my life. And He's wanting to. He desires to. But do you truly believe the words that you're praying? When you say, Lord, I want you to get a hold of my life, do you truly want Him to? I shared the illustration with you already. Brother C.T. Townsend was preaching last year at the Burlington Revival, and he was preaching, and he shares the illustration of his wife and himself, and they were at a youth meeting. They said, Lord, do whatever it takes to get a hold of our lives. A couple weeks later, his wife is at a doctor's appointment. And his wife's at the doctor's appointment, and he wasn't able to be with her at that one, but they usually didn't take too long, so he was getting a little worried. He called her, and as he called her, the doctor was walking in. He said, hey, CT, is that you? He said, yes, sir. He put him on speakerphone. He said, I don't know how to break this to you guys, but your son, they're only a couple weeks from she was given birth. He said, your son's not going to live. As soon as he's born, he's going to die. He had a rare condition, and Brother C.T. said that he went on for it seemed like a year. They went on and they were depressed. They didn't know. His wife went into a state of depression. She was upset. And I can't imagine all what was taking place and the emotions that she had to be feeling and they had to be feeling. But he said they went back and in their minds they remember praying a prayer and saying, Lord, do whatever it takes to get our lives, to get all of us. And they take that time in their life and they realize that God's been able to use that time in their life to change and help so many people. And to be able to get a hold of their lives, and they stand there and they say, listen, do whatever it takes. I wonder if they had known that a couple weeks later they'd hear the news that they'd never once meet or be able to spend time with their child that was going to be there. If they would go back and say, "Lord, do whatever it takes." And you say, "I wonder." But he goes on and he preaches and he shares that they do it all over again because they realized that it was in God's plan. And God had a greater plan in all that process that took place. I wonder how many of us would find ourselves on our knees and saying, "Lord, do whatever it takes to get a hold of my life. Lord, revive this world, revive this work, revive me." Look with me in chapter 3 of Habakkuk. The Bible continues going on. He says in verse 1, he says, "The prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth." That word "upon Shigionoth" right there, it means with so much emotion. He's got so much emotion built up. He says, "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy." In verse 2, one more time, it says, "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years." This morning, God's wanting to do a work. God's wanting to speak to every single one of us. But once again, pride oftentimes gets in the way. Many of us will not find ourselves one time on this altar pleading and begging with God to find or to send revival. Many of us will never once find ourselves on this altar pleading with God and begging for Him to get a hold of our lives and say, "Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, help me to get rid of the sin in my life. Lord, help me to pray more. Help me to seek Your face more. Lord, help me to humble myself in Your sight often." But never once will we do that. Many of us will leave this auditorium and leave this church once again and leave churches all across this country. And we'll hear messages that are preached. And we'll hear messages preached directly out of 2 Chronicles 7:14. And we'll hear these words, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." We'll hear these things and never once do anything about it because oftentimes we don't like the place. You see, we don't like the place of this altar because it changes our lives. It makes us get rid of some things. We don't like the place of the Word of God sometimes. We don't give it its proper place because it reveals how wicked we truly are and the sin that we need to get rid of. We don't like the place oftentimes that God wants to send us because we think we know something better than God. But in all reality, when we find ourselves on our knees, when we find ourselves getting rid of some sin, when we find ourselves pleading with Him, the burden will be so heavy that we'll understand the beginning of all of that taking place. It starts with God. The beginning of revival starts with us finding ourselves once again in love with our Savior. Remember that time when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you couldn't wait to tell someone. Finding ourselves once again at that place. And the blessing of revival is always, "Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Can you imagine what God could do if we truly found ourselves on our knees? Reading 2 Chronicles 7:14 with a burden so heavy like Habakkuk. To the point where in chapter 3, as months have taken place and he's finding himself still praying, and he's saying, "Lord, please," with so much emotion, "please revive thy work." Wonder how many of us this morning would find ourselves with a burden so heavy that we're pleading with God, "Lord, let it start in me. Get a hold of my life. Lord, do whatever it takes to get a hold of my life. Do whatever it takes to truly help me to understand that You have something far greater for me. Lord, help this banner not to just be a banner that's up here for looks. Lord, truly create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I pray that when September 27th comes and we're finding ourselves in the Word of God and we've been in revival for a couple of days, that we'll finally find ourselves day one or day two or tomorrow, whenever, revived by His Word. You see, this Word right here is powerful. It says it's powerful. We understand all that it can do. We understand that the Word of God and the Gospel still changes lives. We understand that the God we're praying to, and we hear the song, "Prayer is just as big as God is big." It's prayer is just as big as God is big because the God that you're praying to can answer anything. You don't have a God like some of these other religions who fail you. You don't have a God like all these other religions that aren't real. You have a God in heaven who loves you, who wants to send revival, who wants to get a hold of your life. But this morning, so much pride is built up, and you're saying, "I just don't know." Let go and allow God to use you. Let go and allow God to get a hold of your hearts. Allow yourself to find yourself at the altar and saying, listen, Lord, get a hold of my heart. Lord, let it start in me. Lord, I want you to truly create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Allow God to do that. He desires to. Don't look at 2 Chronicles 7:14 and say, oh, that would be great. Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14 and say, Lord, what do I need to do? Lord, help me to do it. Lord, I desire it so much.